Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
I don't know if you know by now, but Kirk Douglas has died.
Was he 103?
He was 10. He was like a radio station. When you get up to like the right hand, right side of the dial on the radio, you're not going that far. Now there's a comedian who does this joke, but like first of all, New York Times says Kirk Douglas, one of the last surviving movie stars from Hollywood's golden age. He's not the last. Whose rugged good looks and muscular intensity, and a comedian does this joke. I can't remember what one. But what was considered muscular back then?
Yeah. It's like true. At Spartacus. Yeah, you see him with his shirt off and stuff, and you're like, whoa.
This isn't The Rock.
No.
I mean, Spartacus is like, you know, he's thin.
Do you think that's about as big as you can get without any steroids?
That, yes, because that's like the triangular weight that they lift.
Yeah.
At one and
like
two.
The strong man from back in the days with the barbell with the circular weights.
The handlebar mustaches, they're all bald.
Yeah. I bet that's as big as you could get without any kind of chemicals or any sort of supplement.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he was known as like this monster of a man.
Because like the bodybuilders of the time, like the Jack LaLanne.
Yes, yeah.
They had that like Terry Francona Iron Sheik stomach.
It's true. They totally did.
And if they were doing steroids, they were like, they just took like semen out of a horse and injected it in them. Yeah, testosterone.
There's kind of been a roller coaster of beefcake when it comes to your action heroes. Because, you know, back in the day, right, Kirk Douglas, he had to be a small. Then came Schwarzenegger, which was just like, Roid Fest 2000 yeah, and whatever.
The
and
visual
then,
is great.
Or 1980. And then it went, okay, now all of a sudden, what's the guy from, the old dude from the Taken movies? Liam Neeson, all of a sudden, like, an action hero. And Matt Damon from The Bourne Identity. And now all of a sudden, it's The Rock and it's Vin Diesel again.
It's a little
so
different.
You're kind of on the beefcake roller coaster when it comes
apparently,
to action.
Apparently he was standing a towering 5'9 as well. So 5'9 and thin somehow was and then it says okay, so Kirk Douglas, one of the last surviving movie stars from Hollywood's golden age, whose rugged good looks and muscular intensity made him a commanding presence in celebrated films like Lust for Life, Spartacus, and Paths of Glory. How much money would it take for you to sit through those three movies?
Spartacus is an all right movie. That's okay. Somebody legitimately dies in that movie, and they kept the scene in.
Well, but that's
like a guy falls off of a chariot,
but
gets run over like one of the stuntmen, and it like cracks his neck, and he dies, and they kept the scene and the dead body lying in there.
I watch Faces of Death. That's nothing. But but he has to shout like everything. Like, Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they yell everything, right?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm getting those two mixed up. That was Ben-Hur that happened. Because Ben-Hur is also the one where you can see Charlton Heston wearing a Rolex during a chariot race.
Oh, okay.
Okay, why? Now, you've seen Spartacus?
Yes, I have.
How did that come up?
It was one of those movies that was always on TV when I was a kid. And for some reason, my father, like Sunday afternoons or Saturday afternoons, it was like Clint Eastwood movies, John Wayne movies, and Spartacus was always kind of in the rotation. So that's one that I've seen. It's been years upon years, but I have seen it.
That's got to be like a five-hour movie.
I think it's like a three-hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Spartacus! I'm going to get to Spartacus!
He was also in those crazy, what's his name? Harry, what's the stop-motion Clash of the Titans animation, like Sinbad? Remember those films like back in like the 60s where it was these giant beasts, but they were all like in stop motion, like the Kraken and everything? Harryhausen, I think, is the guy who did it. It's the guy who did Clash of the Titans. He was in a bunch of those films, like Voyage of the Sinbad and the Sailors or whatever.
Seven Seas.
Okay. Yeah. He was in a bunch of creepy movies back in the day.
Yeah. But he's long gone. Because in there was like a I've talked about this before. It's amazing he lived this long because back, like when Tiger Woods was 19 or something, they did the beginning of the Super Bowl.
Oh, and, yeah.
And it was Kirk Douglas. What's the kid's name? Because he's old, too. But Michael Douglas. It's Kirk Douglas and Michael Douglas. So, like, you know, whoever, you know, was Agassi hits a tennis ball and then it, like, lands in the hands of, you know, Mick Jagger or something. And then he throws their football. And then so he throws the football. And eventually Tiger Woods hits the football with his with the golf club, and yeah, it lands in Michael Douglas's hands, and then Kirk Douglas just goes,
"Pow!" It was just like if you would have had the closed captioning up, it would have said like strange sound,
or just ampersand,
yeah, right,
and the ad symbol, because Michael Douglas is like they were the last ones,
yeah,
and like Michael Douglas is like, "Let's play ball" or whatever, and then he goes, "Let's play ball," and then Michael Douglas or Kirk Douglas goes, "Pow!"
You would actually like Spartacus.
I'm not going to watch Spartacus.
That's a Kubrick film.
That's Stanley Kubrick?
Yep.
Stanley Kubrick?
Spartacus is all right. It's not bad.
Spartacus is a Kubrick film? Double check that.
Please do, because I think it is a Kubrick film. I think Spartacus is one of the ones that put him on the map.
I'm trying to think of a Kubrick film that I've seen that I enjoyed.
Oh, 2001 is one of my all-time favorite movies.
I don't understand it at all. He did do Spartacus.
I love 2001, and I hate Clockwork Orange. I saw that movie,
I've
and I'm
seen
like,
Clockwork Orange.
That's one of those movies is just like, there's no reason to have that in my head.
It's 3 hours and 17 minutes.
Dude, The Shining.
I don't like The Shining.
Oh, The Shining is...
I can't look at Shelley Duvall for that long. I'm not lying.
She's like a...
She's so ugly.
A hockey reporter from Charlotte. You can't stand them?
No. I didn't say I can't stand
what?
Her.
What was
Shelley
that?
Duvall. Shelley Duvall is so ugly that I can't watch a movie, except for Popeye, which was great.
But she's so weird looking. She's fascinating.
No. That's the guy from a millionaire lottery thing. My lottery dream home. That's someone you can look at for a long time.
Oh, see, I'm obsessed. That show's awesome. The remote stops when my millionaire lottery show is on TV.
Yeah, I could just look at that. Someone, listeners sometimes send me pictures of him.
Oh.
And he's metamorphosized into this.
He was like a normal dude. Now he's Captain Tats.
He's got like wings tattooed like on his upper chest. Like, I don't know what he's done to his face, but no, he's someone you can look at. Now,
Shelley Duvall, man, she was so good in that, too.
It doesn't matter if she's that ugly. Like, if she played like a monster, then maybe I would watch it. She got cast as olive oil.
That kind of says it all, doesn't it?
That movie sucked. Yeah, Popeye the movie, no good.
Wait, something with Robin Williams was no good?
I mean, you and I agree on Robin Williams. But no, dude, come on. I mean, The Shining.
It's a perfect horror movie.
Matter of fact, it might be the best horror movie ever made. And that's not like a hot take.
A lot of people would agree with you. I have not. I don't get 2001: A Space Odyssey. I wish I did. I wish I was intelligent enough to know what was going on.
Dude, you don't have to be intelligent. You just got to go online and read all the stuff that people have written about it. It's a fairly simple concept.
No, I get the concept,
but it needed to be spelled out to me. Don't get me wrong. But once I understood it, I watched it again, and it was 10 times better.
I didn't mind A Clockwork Orange.
I hate that movie.
And I don't know if I saw anything else that he did.
The first half of Full Metal Jacket is excellent. The second half, absolutely blue. Like, the minute they actually go to war...
It's like Stripes.
Is Stripes probably the number one film that has a great beginning and an awful second half?
Yes.
Stripes would absolutely go down as that.
Yeah. So he did Rosemary's Baby.
Which I have not
seen. No, he did not. That was the pedophile guy. Oh, God.
Polanski.
Polanski, yeah.
He did Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
Fidelio.
It's too sexy for me. I don't want to be overwhelmed with sexiness.
That's a lot of sexiness.
And Shelley Duvall showed up, and everyone just left. It's like the party, and everyone has masks on. And then she takes her mask off, and everyone's like, not Shelley Duvall.
It's the new Eyes Wide Shut.
There's literally not an actress or an actor besides Shelley Duvall that I can't look at.
There's very few people whose faces like I honestly couldn't look at. For some reason, Bruce Hornsby was one of them. There was a video that I think I was a kid, and when he used to call it MTV, it was that that's just the way it is. When they'd show his face, like, oh, I can't. I don't know what it was about his face. I couldn't look at it. It creeped me out. There's very few other people that are like that. Bruce Hornsby, for some reason, it's a weird thing.
Because I would say that Bruce Hornsby is not an unattractive
man. He's not,
man.
And he's not. And I've seen since then, I've seen pictures of him, and I still have that reaction. I don't know why. Bruce Hornsby faces, it haunts me.
Yeah.
Listen. I can't even hear the Tupac version of Changes and not get a little bit cringy.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, so there you go. Kirk Douglas is gone.
Kind of comes full circle back
around. At 103 years old, he had lived a very good life.
Don't run out to see Spartacus, hide from it.
I can assure you.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove. That's another good movie from Kubrick.
That is
okay,
a good movie.
I want to see that.
That's a very good movie.
No, I do want to see that.
It's very good.
Just have patience. Don't do it when the kids are running in and out of the room. Just sit. That's like 2001. 2001 is just take 3 hours of time and say, I'm watching this movie.
They don't say anything in it, though.
They do. It just takes a while.
Yeah.
And it's you know, builds the tension. There's parts of that movie that are terrifying.
Frank, go ahead.
I just want to give a quick shout-out to Sam Cassell and Clint Howard. Thanks. I'll hang up and listen to your comments off air.
All right.
Clint Howard's another interesting face.
Sam Cassell, I believe, had sex with Madonna when she was running through the whole Miami Heat organization.
He did. Well, at least according to the reports that have been out there.
So Sam Cassell, I mean, she was just like, if you're on the Miami Heat, I'm having sex with you. And
faces I can't look at.
But
there's
Clint
very
Howard is ugly, but he doesn't. It's not emotionally draining.
Stop sending me pictures of Shelley Duvall.
People agree with me.
Shelley Duvall, okay. I'll even go so far as when she was younger, she was kind of cute.
Okay, well, you obviously love Edward Scissorhands and things of that nature.
You must be looking at a black and white photo.
No. But whoever Tim Burton movies.
Okay, look at the picture on the left. That's her when she's young.
Yeah, wow, quite a beauty.
Look at that. She's got now, if you want to see pictures of her, now everyone's sending them. And now you can take a look at her. By the way, I'm getting Bruce. Sorry.
All the pictures.
Sending me Bruce.
All the pictures that there people are showing, she's like had her hand covering her face. Like smoking. She's fine when you can't see her face.
Somebody said, I've had a hard time with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Great actor, but I can't look at his face.
Who?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, he's dead now, so.
He didn't bother me. There's really no one except for Shelley Duvall. I don't think there's a male actor.
Look,
that...
she was kind of cute back in the day.
Yeah, she's a real beauty queen.
I mean, she was cute. She wasn't like a knockout.
No.
She wasn't a smoke show.
Well, I mean, there's only so many.
Stop with the Bruce Hornsby pictures. Enough.
Okay. All right. Well, more on the death of Kirk Douglas or Michael Douglas, whoever the hell died on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we were just discussing it went from Kirk Douglas to
Stanley Kubrick to The Shining.
And then it got into I can't watch anything Shelley Duvall's in, but this is a...
Because of her face freaks you out. That's what you said.
Yeah, she's just freaky looking. Everything is freaky looking. I mean, that's why she got cast in The Shining. There's no doubt about it. It's because she's freaky looking.
Yeah, she was perfect for it.
Matt, go ahead.
Maggie Gyllenhaal from Batman.
Okay, here's the thing with Maggie. Okay, Maggie Gyllenhaal, everyone knows, like, why would he go out with her? Maggie Gyllenhaal is in that show, The Deuce.
Yeah.
And she plays, it starts off that she's a sex worker, and then she gets into directing pornography. My wife has said things like, why couldn't this be anybody else? Like, why couldn't this be anybody else? Like, because she's consistently either nude or in something, like, very low cut without a bra. And it's just, and it's complete. I mean, they could have cast anybody in that role.
Is she someone that is in the Shelley Duvall category that you can't watch anything with her in it because you can't watch her? As I said, to me, it was just Bruce Hornsby. It's the only person whose face actually freaked me out.
Someone he just asked me if she was on the committee. No, she's on the. I don't know what I can say on the air. It's not a good look upstairs.
Okay. There, a listener
said, I'll say this. It looks like she had a lot of kids.
Okay.
That breastfed for a long time.
So there is a listener who suggested somebody who is fascinating to me because this one is, I've never known someone who 1 second can make you go, I oh my goodness. And then another second go, wow, she's really attractive. And like within like the same scene, and that's Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men and The Handmaid's Tale. Like she's somebody that at times looks like really like, ooh, she's weird looking. And then other times like, wow, she's really attractive.
Yeah.
Same person. I don't know how she does that, but it's, I guess, a gift.
You're
an actress. I guess you kind of want that.
I'm indifferent on her. She doesn't move the needle either way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take one more and then we can move on. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, couldn't agree more with Sarah Duvall. She scared me more than an elevator full of blood when I used to watch The Shining.
Yeah.
For a guy, I don't know what your thoughts are. William H. Macy creeps me out every time I watch him.
What's funny about William H. Macy, what's odd is that I can't think of a guy that I find so concerning looking that I can't watch them. Because again, the opposite of that is my lottery dream home.
You just can't get enough of them. You're Googling photos of them all over the place.
No, it's not the same when it's a still picture.
Yeah.
But I always get pissed that they're not showing them enough.
Yeah, I don't really care about the couple. He's the star.
Because you know he has chest implants and and calf implants.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that show's fascinating for so many reasons. The host obviously is number one, but as I was saying, you know, these people, they're like, they win the lottery, so they go to go buy their dream home, and they would be like, what's your budget? And they'd say, well, my budget is $750,000. How much did you win the lottery? $750,000.
I've never seen that.
Oh, that happens all the time. They want to spend every single, they're always in Florida, every single penny that they came from absolute nothing. Like, they live in a shack. And they want to use every penny. And they obviously don't realize the taxes takes away a big chunk of it as well.
See, the ones I see, they're generally in the Midwest, and the people don't want to leave, the neighborhood. So they can afford, the grandest house in this hill.
Someone said Willem Dafoe creeps me the hell out. You know what movie I just watched the other day? Is The Lighthouse. Have you heard about that? It's him and Robert Pattinson. And it's about these two guys having to man this lighthouse in the way off in on this island, and it's in black and white, and they get stranded and go crazy, and it is terrifying. It's and the whole time Willem Dafoe speaks like an old pirate, yarr, this sea is right, and he's like this madman.
When did they make this?
This year. It's it just came out on video, dude. It's at some point I was wondering whether I was hallucinating while I was watching it, because it's one of those, I watched it late at night. I was wondering if I kind of have fallen asleep. No, I had not.
Yeah, he's got a face for a villain.
Oh, there's no question.
All right, what's this Cedric Maxwell?
Okay, so Cedric Maxwell, I saw him. By the way, if you do not follow Cedric Maxwell on Twitter, you should.
He's all over it. He's got his own emojis. He's all of a sudden in the last 3 months, he has decided to become a social media maven.
He's building his brand.
Yes. If he likes something you say, he'll give you a Maxmoji.
Right.
He's given me one. It's just a little emoji of Cedric Maxwell's face. And apparently he recorded this little podcast type thing with somebody in which the subject of the Super Bowl halftime show was brought out.
All right.
So Cedric Maxwell wants to weigh in on Shakira, which, by the way, there's a lot of people complaining about that still. So here we go.
What did they do that was wrong?
What, the Shakira? Other than rock the house, other than make a lot of people go, you go, girl.
What did she do that people were mad about?
Shakira?
Yeah.
Showed her butt. A lot of butts.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Well, you know what? I'll do it like this. You tell me 5 songs right now that Shakira has that you know.
That I know, Hips Don't Lie.
Hips Don't Lie.
Waka Waka.
I don't know it. Exactly.
I'm thinking of a Spanish one, Matt.
No, you
know
what?
The name of it, though.
Exactly my point. I mean, I understand that you were proud of the show, but do you think that from a standpoint of that it was the first Latino halftime show? with J-Lo and Shakira.
For them to have that platform and to bring it to that level in front of everyone.
I don't mean to butt in, but on, what is Bruno Mars?
I don't know.
Isn't he partially Latin, I think? Doesn't he?
I don't know. Yeah, his father, he was born and raised in Hawaii.
Oh, he's Hawaiian. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought he was Latin.
What is this on?
It's Cedric Maxwell tweeted it out.
So this is just a conversation he's having?
Yeah. I'll find out exactly where it's from, but this is his Twitter account tweeted it out.
All right.
The messages that were delivered.
I see, and you know, you're saying that about the messages, and J-Lo's daughter was in a cage, and I thought it was a flower she was in.
No, man, the cage.
I didn't get that. What I got out of that halftime show was sexy energy. That's what I got.
No, see, that's the culture, though.
Yeah, but that's what I got.
See, there's the wall.
I mean, you see a wall.
You know what that's about. I mean, it's going to be subtle, though, and that's what I loved about it, Mac.
There was nothing subtle about where that camera was when Shakira was you know, dancing and had legs wide open. And men praying right now for a wardrobe malfunction. Please. So if you're going that way with the Latino community, and I got to give it to you, but equally, so I've just seen you a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about the Red Sox manager.
Quite the transition.
Yeah, he talks like you just took, like you took the comics in the paper and randomly cut out squares and then just put them in non-consecutive order. There's some message about the Latino community. It seems like the gentleman he's talking to is not in favor of the message. And Cedric Maxwell, I don't know what he feels at all.
I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Not at all.
Right.
And just how devastated you were.
Right.
What's the batter down in Houston? Aribe is who they plays for the Astros.
Altuve.
Okay. Do you think that because of that, the positive message with that, because you were down, do you think that might have affected you even more? Because I've talked to you. This is the first time I can honestly say, and I don't know, but I could sense that you were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You were really hurt by what happened with the Red Sox manager.
I was.
And then you all of a sudden you come back and have something like this.
Right.
And because of that, Shakira.
That's right. That's right.
Mike, is he like jumping around this way like throughout the whole thing?
For the Super Bowl to give them that platform, which we talked about Jay-Z months ago when he was going to organize his whole thing. I wasn't quite sure there would be a political aspect to it. And again, I like the fact that it was subtle.
Wait. Was there a cut there? Did they just go from the Astros, Alex Cora to the, okay.
Again, I like the fact that it was subtle. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say I wasn't smiling when I heard, you know, Monday morning came around and people were complaining about, oh, it's too sexual. It's the culture, man. Well, do you think it's a big deal? Do you have kids?
I was more concerned after everything happened and to find out that where the Chiefs actually played at from the President of the United States.
Oh, man. That's the icing on the cake, Max. Yo.
All right, so because the president thought that Kansas City was in Kansas. And there you go.
Kelsey, what do you think about that?
That is long-form Cedric Maxwell, which is a lot like short-form Cedric Maxwell in that it's completely incoherent.
Right. He did not mention any kind of snack food at any point.
No, he had a message. All right, what is coming up there, Rich?
Oh, Pete Rose is on a warpath to get reinstated, and I actually like the case he's making. He might not win it, but I like the case he's making.
All right, so here are the headlines.
95, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Don't know if you saw it yesterday, but Tom Brady did a little Q&A on his Instagram, mostly about his fitness routine. But at one point, a question came up that asked him where he was going to play next year, and he just made a face and sat silently like this, like, and then went to the next question. So even he is
enjoying this.
He is. And you know what? He should, because this is one of those things that everyone's talking about him. Every time he does something like that, it probably gets teams more hot and bothered that, you know, he might end up considering signing somewhere else other than New England. And I got no problem with any of that. I just love that there are people who believe that they know where he's going to go.
Well, I'll tell you, it's something that is, if he continues to do this over week after week after week, it's going to get a little bit. People are going to care less.
We still have over 6 weeks left of this.
Here's why this is different than Gronk, because Gronk, it became intolerable. There is a deadline to this, and that is March 17th, right? It's St. Patrick's Day.
17th.
Yeah, so he is, like, that's when you've got to find an answer at this point. So it's not going to go on forever, like the Gronk thing did, where it went into the season and kept going and going and going. This at least will, in less than a month and a half, be over soon, which will be nice for everyone. Now, this is a story that I can get behind. Pete Rose is asking Major League Baseball to lift his lifetime ban because he believes the punishment the league handed down in the Astros sign-stealing scandal is further proof that he deserves to be back in the game. So hear him out. He sent a petition to Rob Manfred on Wednesday. Rose and his attorneys argued that Manfred's decision to not punish any players who were involved in the stealing of signs that shows that Rose's lifetime ban is, quote, vastly disproportionate from the disciplinary action that has been taken against other players who have compromised the integrity of the game. His lawyer said, quote, there cannot be one set of rules for Mr. Rose and another for everyone else. They said no objective standard or characterization of the rules violations committed by Mr. Rose can distinguish his violations from those that have incurred substantially less severe penalties from Major League Baseball. So he's basically saying, and you know what? I mean, it's kind of interesting that he's putting that. Who knows if we'll get back? But one thing I do know is that he just wants to be reinstated to the point where they can vote him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so he could go sell more merchandise. He had his shot. He had his shot with the previous commissioner, and things were trending in the right direction until the commissioner found out that Rose was writing a book, and all he wanted was the publicity so that the book sales would go well. And then he turned his back on him. There was a big sign outside every major league locker room when Rose was playing. You are not allowed, I'm paraphrasing, you're not allowed to gamble on this, on any game you participate on. And he ignored it.
That's the death sentence in sports.
He deserved this.
It shouldn't have been, but at the time it wasn't for the Hall of Fame. So he was banned from baseball in 89. And there was no rule that existed that he would be ineligible for the Hall of Fame. However, 2 years later in 1991... the Hall of Fame put a rule into place that, as a matter of fact, it was the year before Pete Rose would have been eligible, that stated no player who had been permanently banned from baseball can be enshrined in Cooperstown. So at the time,
he thought, I'm going to get in the Hall of Fame. You can ban me from baseball. I'm still good. I'll make the Hall of Fame.
But the thing I'm wondering is that let's say that baseball did say, okay, after all these years, we'll make you eligible for the Hall of Fame. Does he get voted in?
Oh, no.
See, that's the thing, is that even if you do get on the ballot, who's going to vote you in? I was a voter, I would, because I'm like one of those people with the steroids and everything. If you were famous and if you're one of the all-time greatest, you got to put him in.
An interesting test case will be to see what happens at Clemens and Bonds in the next couple of years.
There's one thing about taking steroids, and then there's one thing about
deliberately ignoring something that's in print in front of you when you go to work every day.
Well, what about the stealing of signs? Okay. I mean, that's something that was told the teams to not do.
It's gamesmanship.
If you use electronics.
It's still gamesmanship. It's not right, but it's gamesmanship. If you are managing a team or playing on a team, but especially managing on a team, and you are gambling on baseball, even if you are picking your team to win, you could be managing in a way that that can predict the outcome of a game the next day. You could be overworking your bullpen. You could be doing a million things. That is the destiny. That is the one thing that you can, that in sports, because if they have a pre-concluded ending to the game, then there's no reason to watch sports. I mean, if everyone's gambling on sports and they're screwing around, then What's the point of watching it? Go watch a movie. I mean, if I know that, you know, if someone's, you know, dictating what happens in a game because they have money on it, then, I mean, what's the point?
Did you see the breakdown that somebody did where they went through every one of the Astros games from the year that they were being accused of cheating? And they showed not only the splits, but the percentage difference between the year before and that year. Mm-hmm. Did you see how egregious and how incredible the difference was in the numbers?
Yes.
I'll have to pull it. I think you probably saw that article, but I mean,
I saw the article. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head.
I would like to meet the man who went through all that and give him a high five.
I mean, I'm with you, Fred. I mean, these are people with how much time do these guys have in their hands?
It's the baseball equivalent of Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
People watching offensive line play every game. Let's grade this play and this play and this play.
And then it's something that will never get through anyone's head that no one cares.
All right, Fred, somebody on the line, too, says Rich is wrong, Fred is right. So I will let
there you go.
Take that one right there.
All right. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, you got one scenario is a team trying to win. That's what they're trying to do. That's the Astros. Another scenario is a guy cheating everything there is in the name of the game. You cannot gamble if you're involved directly in the game. It's outrageous. Not even close to the same thing.
It's the death sentence. I mean, again, if you're the idea is that there's the ending has been decided before the game has finished is not good.
I just think it's way more fun if you had put his name on the ballot. Because I would just want to see what people would do.
It's fun. Like but if never going
to
happen.
If it was on there, because then you really have to ask yourself, what do I think the Hall of Fame is? Because there's been a lot of people who are starting to get weeded out who are like the anti-steroids people. That's kind of starting to go away a little bit, and I like that. And I'm with you, Fred. I believe that it's also, if this is somebody that was like one of the biggest names in the game at the time, it's the Hall of Fame. You can write what you want underneath it about, you know, you obviously would have to put that he got in trouble for gambling on sports. But, I mean, I would think that you just go, is he still like the greatest hitter in baseball? I mean, is he still like hold that record?
He had more hits than anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, again, he gambled, and you can't put, you can't reward anything. I mean, that's the one thing you can't do.
Put him in as opinion, a player?
No, it's just one thing you can't do. It's the way it is. Gambling. Do whatever the hell else you want. I don't care. Get caught with 45 kilos of cocaine. That's your business.
Another person looking to cash in on the whole Tony Romo's going to make $1 zillion because he's an ex-quarterback who is in broadcasting. We mentioned Drew Brees has had preliminary talks, but now the dream might come true, even though it was yanked away from us about 2 years ago. Jay Cutler, once again, meeting with two networks about broadcasting. I just can't understand how he could possibly
I want to see this.
Good.
I want to see this because we all realize that he has no personality at all on the field. We all realize that his teammates hated him in Chicago. He didn't do much better in Miami, and he was up for a network job before he went to Miami. Mm-hmm. And then someone saw fit after knowing all of this to go back at him again.
People are
so now I want him to get hired. I want to see this.
And by the way, he was on that TV show with his wife, Kristen Cavallari, and got like a bunch of, you know, good reviews for that. But that's because he was the lazy oaf dad. Like he was like the guy who was just like, hey, he didn't want to do much. He's like slack. How that would translate in the booth as a color guy, it's going to be must watch television because it sounds to me it's going to be a worse train wreck than when Jason Witten got in the booth. Right, I didn't even think Jason Witten was awful. I just didn't think he was. I thought he was unpolished.
I want him to be matched up with Sean McDonough, and I want him to do Monday Night Football.
Bomb down the field, and that's going to win it for the Raiders. 102-yard.
Gruden wanted to punch him in the face. Gruden has never looked more miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him lose games horribly.
Just have him do Thursday nights. No one's paying attention to that game anyway. Just have him do Thursday nights.
1 second left on the clock. Bills are going to punt. Taking it to 20.
So there you have it, just a taste of what you can expect in December. You can see how excited First Trooper to my right here is.
It's like he took like a million Xanax.
I was on that island.
Captain Personality.
All right, the stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. WindowNation.com. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have coming up on the way.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. .985 to Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich, and like every day, Zolak has been in here. He's put down his headphones. He has left. He is screwed with the Twitch feed, and now he's gone. Like every other day, it's the same thing. Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we to do?
In the meantime, would you like to hear David Pastrnak?
Sure. Chirps are what we call it when we trash talk somebody. Like, hey, Pasta, the only thing you got going on the ice is that cold brew.
I have a better chirp. You might have a cold brew, but I'm a cold brewing. Get it? Because I'm a brewing.
Where there's hockey, there's Duncan.
Sounds like one of my jokes during an Ainge interview.
It sounds very much like it. It's almost like they were taking notes.
Landed about the same way.
On the delivery.
Yeah. So maybe they're stealing from me, just like they did with Rafters.
They have a star. Duncan's got a star in David Pastrnak. Every commercial he's been in has been great.
Yeah.
Check your voicemail. You missed some calls. And then you've got that one. And then there's another one that's really sure. It goes, Pasta, feelings are hurt. He just like skates away.
Yeah. It's not up there with the Datsuk commercials that were on in Detroit where you couldn't understand one thing that he was saying.
Oh, I mean, that's one of the all-time. You're talking about the one, it's Datsuk, and who else is in it too? It's like a bunch of other players that were on that team.
This is him at a car dealership. He is standing there very uncomfortable, and there is a camera right in his face. And he's like,
Is this it?
Here are your keys, Mr. Armstrong.
Right on. Kobe, what are you doing here? I'm here to pick up my new BMW.
No.
A&L really took good care of me because of, you know, who I am.
You? Who are you? I thought they only took care of superstars like me.
Hey, guys, they treat everybody like a superstar. That's why I have one of each. Gina, take a jet.
What?
A&L.
Was that a Niner in there?
Take that and expand it to a minute.
Who's the one you're talking about?
I think it was Datsuk in Detroit. It's a Detroit commercial. And it might be a Russian guy, but I don't know.
Do you remember Kirk Gibson doing commercials for a boat dealer?
No.
And on his back, he was so stiff. My Sea Ray dealer's Colony Marine. And that's where I get my Sea Ray boat for boating.
Did he and Pete Rosma go marry two chicks from the booby hut or whatever it was?
Was it the booby trap?
It was the booby trap.
Yeah, the jiggly room down by the airport there.
Yeah, Gibson and Pete Rose married sisters from the booby trap. And I think that Gibson's still married to his.
Good for him.
Yeah.
She's putting herself through school. I mean, it's a legitimate job.
So who? Yeah, Shelley Duvall's disgusting. It's a very difficult woman to look at.
Oh, God.
Frightening.
I was telling Hardy about the Cedric Maxwell.
Tablebon, this is in Bishop Kenny High School baseball. You're in the game.
Give me a minute, coach. I'm buying a vehicle at 125auto.com. Oh, I found it. Click, send, done.
Yeah, those were great. When Papelbon, they couldn't use the name Red Sox. And he was like, this isn't Bishop Kenny High School. Like, did everyone know that he went to Bishop Kenny High School? Is that like a known fact at the time?
I don't even know if he went there. I mean, he's from.
Did he finish?
No, but is Bishop Kenny High School from here?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Mr. Papelbon, what's the best thing about pitching Beantown?
Come to the park of my heart for 125 auto. Can you believe I've hit under 39 grand?
Doesn't it give you chills when you walk in the ballpark?
It gives me chills driving to the park of my Hummer from the megastore. My teammates can't believe the incredible deal I got.
John, you pitch for the greatest team in baseball.
Yeah, but I also pitch for the best dealership in New England. The 125 megastore. You can't beat their selection and the prices will blow you away.
Just call out.
His face is like deer in headlights in the camera. So this well,
good luck getting rid of that Hummer. All right,
you'll appreciate this. Bishop Kenny High School is in Jacksonville.
Okay, well, the world in New England knew that. Where that aired.
All right, what do you fellas got going on today? I'm looking at Hardy. I'm looking at Scott Zolak. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, obviously the bet stuff.
Yeah,
this is gonna fall through.
No,
get into some Brady stuff. What else are we doing?
We got anybody today?
Stuff.
We're going to do stuff today.
That Cedric Maxwell audio? We might do 2 hours on that.
Yeah.
What was he? How high was he?
I don't know. It's, he doesn't make any sense during the game.
Has he ever listened to a podcast before? It's how to do a podcast.
How to speak in a linear fashion. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye. From the town.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.